The Israel Report with Rolien Marks.
I don't want to waste 1 minute today. So much happening in Israel. Have you done your civic duty and gone and voted for the third time?
Absolutely. I mean, I am experiencing a big sense of déjà vu because I've done this a few times in the last year. But you know what? The true winner here is democracy. Israelis coming out in their droves today. In fact, the numbers are very high. And we actually predicted a lot of apathy around this third election. But everybody's out, everybody's voting. And yes, of course, I did my civic duty. Interestingly, at my polling station, we were not allowed to take any pictures. So I was forced to do a throwback picture to the last election, which was only 6 months ago. But yeah, everybody coming out to vote, everybody understanding that this election is a very, very important election. And I came in on the stompy end of your discussion with David. What were you saying about politicians and existential crises?
I was just saying that in Israel there cannot be room for egos because the results of the vote is so unbelievably significant for Israelis. You know, your kids are potentially going to war. You know, you can't not have trust in your leaders. You can't have leaders who are about themselves and not the nation. Or am I being hopelessly idealistic?
I think it's a mix. I think, you know, we would hope that leaders would lose, you know, their reliance on ego and make the best decisions for the country. And I think if that was the case, we would see a significantly different kind of election being led. And dare I say it, I think that Netanyahu would have stepped down and dealt with his legal challenges. And here I can actually feel the people going, can't believe she just said that, but I did. It's also the reason why when we're here in Israel, we're very, very careful of going to war when there is an escalation so quickly, because these are massive decisions for our leaders to make. And, you know, there are many moving parts to these decisions, which is why, you know, when we have a situation like we had last week where we had an escalation of rockets, we don't just go to war. But, yeah, we all are very curious to see what happens with this election. But, you know, I echo the sentiments of President Rivlin earlier this morning, who said it's an utter shame that it had to come to this, that we are now in a third election. He says the next time that we go to the ballot, it's hopefully in 4 years' time, where, you know, unfortunately he won't be president anymore because his term will have come to an end. But that's the next time we meet, is in 4 years' time at an election.
Rolien, I'm going to ask you to postulate just a little bit. This high turnout, who's that going to be advantageous to?
I think that everybody's come out because there's a lot of electioneering fear. You know, there's a lot of concern that just because in one of the election cycles, I think it was the second one, Benny Gantz said that, you know, he's prepared to talk, not sit with, not form a coalition with, to talk with the members of the joint list. And there was hysteria against that. So there's elements coming out who are scared that all of a sudden, you know, we're going to change the whole demographic and map of the country. Then there are minority communities, the Arab communities are expected to come out in their numbers because in the last election they did have a significantly high turnout for that community and received quite a few votes in the Knesset. We're also going to see probably a high turnout from the far right, who are going to want to do everything they can to possibly fight against what they would see as capitulating to Trump on certain issues in the Trump peace plan. What has been interesting is because we've got so many centers for those under quarantine, we've actually had to extend the amount of hours that have been allocated to those under quarantine who've been in areas where there has been high levels of coronavirus. So we've got quarantine people coming out in their large numbers, which I never thought would be something I would say with regards to an election.
And how are they doing that? Are there separate places for them to vote or what?
There are separate places. There's specific voting centers for anybody who is under quarantine. And we have one here in Modi'in. I don't know where it is, but it's somewhere in Modi'in where we've got a specific quarantine tent. And I'm actually watching footage is that those who are under quarantine, those reading the documents are fully suited. This is thanks to Magin David Adom. I have to give Magin David Adom a shout out here. It's Magin, thanks to Magin David Adom that are keeping everybody safe, keeping everybody virus free and protected, and those who are voting with masks, etc. on. I mean, it's almost like a science fiction movie.
Science fiction movie, and also I was listening to some news this morning about a gentleman who had a toy shop in Oriahuda, and it's almost as though like the knives are out for this guy. Who's saying anything was done on purpose? How do you know if you got a cold, if you got coronavirus or not? It just seems to me that people are, I don't know, having very extreme reactions to unintended actions by certain people.
Well, I think, you know, globally, there's a large sense of, you know, this is something that we don't know too much about. We don't know enough to know exactly how to deal with it. But what the health ministry here has advised that even if you have got the flu, please stay at home. Don't go to work. Don't go out. Just stay at home. Take care of yourself. And what is also very interesting, and this is for Israelis who are listening, and if you do feel that you've got some strange symptoms that you don't know what it is, call Magin David Adom. The health ministry is saying, please don't report to your nearest doctor or hospital. Phone Magin David Adom. They will come in the aid cars. They will assess you. They will have the necessary precautionary suits, and you know, they will deal with whatever needs dealing with.
Let's talk APAC, and let's talk the war of words between Bibi and Bernie. Does it continue?
Oh, it's getting heated. I mean, if it wasn't Bibi versus Bernie, it's now Bibi versus Bernie. You know, last week we spoke quite a bit about APAC and some of the language that was being used. I mean, I tell you, Simon, I'm full of beans today because I'm speaking to you, so the sense of humor is out.
Okay.
But last week we heard how Bernie Sanders, I'm confusing my Bernie with my Bernie's here, guys, said that APAC is providing a platform for bigots, and he called not just Netanyahu, but he called the Israeli government racist. Now, this is everybody's taken exception to this. You know, it's like another case that we see in the media where another country is being called a racist country for their royal family members choosing to leave. This is the same sentiment here. Like, hold on a second, you're calling our government racist, Bernie, you know, you who is supported by notorious racist and anti-Semite. So, you know, pot, kettle, black, all those things. And people saying that, you know, if you're slightly to the right of merits, Bernie Sanders considers you a racist. And this is a serious opinion that's coming out from several pundits. But Bibi Netanyahu has taken aim at Bernie Sanders, saying that his comments are libelous and outrageous. And we even heard from our ambassador to the United Nations, Danny Danon, who said that, Bernie, if you're going to make statements like this, calling the government of Israel racist, you are not welcome in Israel and you're not welcome at APAC.
Times of Israel is reporting that Biden has just told APAC today that Israel's policies are undermining support among U.S. youth. And this just takes me back to conversations you and I have had on numerous occasions, Rolly, in the fact that perhaps the very extreme pro-Israel positions of the Republican Party has harmed bipartisanship.
I think it's a discussion that needs to happen, and it's worth happening. It's worth having. You know, there is a lot of criticism for some of the policies of the Israeli government. Also I'm concerned from the side of, you know, the younger generation of Jewish students. I don't think that they're knowledgeable enough and this might be a controversial statement from me, but I don't think they're knowledgeable enough on what happens in Israel and the nuances and, you know, the minutiae of the situation here to make those kinds of blanket statements that they're making. I do understand how maybe frustration because we haven't gotten to some kind of peace deal and we can debate endlessly, you know, who's to blame for what and, you know, what are the obstacles, many are getting fatigued because we don't know if the two-state solution is going to be continue to be viable. But I think that the words from Biden is something that both Israelis and those of us who work in any kind of advocacy initiative, as well as Jewish organizations in America, need to be very, very